9:56, and we're opening the meeting of Brazos County Municipal Utility District Number 1.
Call the meeting to order?
Call the meeting to order, and you want assistance or you want to run?
I'll run.
Go ahead.
Starting with item 1?
Yep.
To approve the minutes?
I should have received from our office by email drafting the minutes. If anybody has any comments or corrections, please let us know.
Move for approval of the minutes?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
No nays. The minutes have been approved. Next item, the order regarding director's terms.
Yes, in even numbered years, we're required to have director's election. However, we do not have any residents within the district. So state law allows us to not have to go through the process of having that election with no residents within the boundaries and just adopt an order declaring the new terms. So Hunter, Larry, and Kyle, those terms are all extended for 4 years. And so we just need to adopt the order extending those terms for 4 more years. And we will be done with the election for another 2 years.
Okay.
Can we move on our own?
Yes.
Extensions?
Oh. Absolutely.
I'll make that motion.
And I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to adopt the order of director's terms. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Approved to adopt the order.
Just a matter of order. Water code requires that there be a majority vote in favor of any item, and that's a majority of the board, not a majority of the quorum. So in this instance, with only a bare quorum of 3, it requires a unanimous vote in order to pass any item. Just be clear about that. Item number 3 is implementation of House Bill 1295. Everyone has should have a memo. This is a new state law that was passed last session in the name of transparency. As we move forward after the passage of 1295, anytime we enter into a contract that requires the approval of this board, we must receive from that party a certificate of interested parties, which means that we have to receive a disclosure of who it has the controlling interest and also who is representing, such as legal counsel lobbying or working in order to obtain that contract. This is implemented through the Texas Ethics Commission. It actually is a fairly complex process that has to occur. We have to have a unique identifying number that is established on the Texas Ethics Commission website for any contracts that we're entering into. Then this form has to be completed prior to. And the in excess of $1 million would have been great, but after the or makes that a real problem. Or requires action of the governing body, and as a result, there are certain governmental entities that get around this by saying we're going to delegate to the city manager approval of anything under $250,000 or something like that. We're not, as a municipal utility district, all of your contracts are approved by the board. So we don't get around it for anything. We have to have this form completed whenever we enter into a contract. Every single time that we do this moving forward. And we're obligated to then go and verify that form has been filed with the Ethics Commission. And it is created a compliance nightmare for large entities, like cities and counties. It's not so bad for us, other than we may have contracts with entities that may not have a lot of familiarity with doing this, but we will assist in your compliance. My expectation is that this will be revisited next session, or that the rules implementing this of the Texas Ethics Commission may be revisited to make it a little bit less onerous. This is the law that we are stuck with at this point. This is just an informational matter. However, as we move forward, any construction contracts, any new consulting contracts, real estate that we acquire, easements that we acquire,
going forward.
Yes. Yeah, this does not apply in the past. Okay? All right. And this is just an informational matter.
No action.
No action required.
Okay. All right. Item 4, renewal of district insurance policies.
All right. We have a proposal for a renewal premium, summary of which I'm not sure if y'all, I believe you should have this. To remind y'all, in the past you obtained policies both for the district as well as yourself, including a general liability insurance policy of $1 million, a directors and officers liability policy of $1 million, workers' comp, and then a couple of required bonds, the public employee blanket crime bond and the director's bond. Those are both required by state law. Your prior premium was $3,529 for the same policy. The new renewal premium is $3,384, we would recommend that you renew your insurance. As we mentioned last time below, there are some optional coverages that y'all rejected in the past. And I think primarily the decision, just to remind y'all, is y'all will not be operating water plants or sewer plants, so you won't be maintaining chlorine containers, you know, for water processing or a wastewater treatment plant, things like that. Most of the other, we are not currently employing any law enforcement officers. If we do in the future for like park securities or anything like that or any kind of security issues, we will revisit these. And we can revisit these at any time if your facts change. But with that, we would recommend that you renew your insurance policy. Just to remind y'all also, the defense cost for both your general liability policy and your directors and officers liability are outside the policy limits. And so that's a very important provision to understand about these policies. As a governmental entity, what you're usually trying to do is make sure that the lawyer who has gone down the courthouse realizes that you're a governmental entity and that you're going to assert your immunities. But if you were to have those rare limited exceptions where your immunities don't apply, all of those defense costs are outside the policy limits.
So is that what the umbrella covers or not?
Pardon me?
The umbrella liability, would that cover the outside of the...
The umbrella overlays everything other than your director's and officer's liability policy, so it just adds an additional $1 million worth of coverage for $900 that would overlay your general liability policy. Your director's and officer's liability, if you want to increase it more than $1 million, you actually increase that, and it's about $1,000 per million.
You've got it at $1.5 million here.
Pardon me. That's $1,500.
Oh, $1,500. I'm sorry.
It's a premium.
Sorry.
So if we, if we wanted to go to $2 million, it would be $2,500. Okay.
So, Steve, is that you feel that's adequate coverage?
We have not based upon past experience, we have not had claims and certainly not judgments in excess of those limits for districts in your position.
Okay.
So. But again, that's a business judgment for y'all. Okay.
Any other questions? We have a motion to approve the insurance renewal.
So moved.
Second.
It's been motion has been made to approve the insurance renewal. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's passed. Next item. Financing and bookkeeping matters, including amended budget for fiscal year ending November 30th, 2016.
Everybody ought to have
Bookkeeper's report. What's that?
We don't have a bookkeeper.
Oh, okay. We're the bookkeeper.
All right. So I will be happy to go over it for you. I'm not your bookkeeper, but I'll happy. You can see in your general fund, you are showing a deficit based upon the disbursements that are proposed. And so, as you know, at this point, we are kind of in a cash-in, cash-out basis. We haven't begun levying taxes. You haven't stabilized. And so as we approve invoices, what the bookkeeper will do is hold those ones that are payable pending receipt of the invoices, which we now have in hand. So you can see at the on your for the current period down on the bottom of page 2, the bills that are included, which include your director's fees, your tax fees, your bookkeeper, Jones and Carter, your insurance renewal, a TCQ, some title work that was required, and your legal counsel for the condemnation matter totaling $44,102. On the next page is your budget, and again, this is a real inaccurate science at this point until we are kind of stabilized and regularly operating. But you can see the budget comparison and as you know, at this point, your budget is comprised exclusively of developer advances until you begin levying a property tax. Okay? With that, we would recommend that you approve the bookkeeper's report and authorize payment of the bills.
Move for approval and authorization.
Second.
All right. It's been motion's been made to approve the bookkeeping matters and the amendments. Do we have all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion passes to approve the bookkeeping matters. Next item: to accept annual disclosure statements for investment officer and bookkeeper.
All right. We are obligated on an annual basis to obtain from your investment officer and bookkeeper a disclosure of any relationships that they may have with those financial institutions with whom we do business with. So if there is any form of conflict, we have to receive that information from your bookkeeper, and then that gets filed with the Texas Ethics Commission. We have received from Rose Montalbano and Fran Matuska, who are your bookkeeper and investment officer, that they don't own any banks that we do business with. They don't own any investments in. They do have a relationship with, it is the brother. There's a brother that works for Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, which we have accounts with. I will tell you that I've just having talked with him, that brother is in like an energy investment banking department. That does not create any kind of conflict. It does require disclosure of, but you can imagine with anybody at, for instance, with Bank of America, you could have people all over that really don't create any kind of conflict. So it is not a legal conflict, but it is a disclosure obligation. So we will file that with the Ethics Commission with your approval.
And we need a motion to accept?
That motion to accept and authorize filing, and here are the forms if anybody would like to review those.
Move to authorize and accept the disclosure statements.
Second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the annual disclosure statements. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And no opposition. It's motion's passed. So, number 7, conduct annual review of investment policy and adopt resolution regarding annual review of investment policy.
And really, 7 and 8 go together, and I'm going to talk about them both together. We're obligated under the Public Funds Investment Act to annually review your investment policy. This is really kind of a theoretical discussion at this point. We are not doing investments under at this point. And we're also obligated to have a list of those qualified broker-dealers with whom we may engage in investment transactions. Now, that's just a running list of who is willing to do business with governmental entities. Because of the compliance, that is a smaller list than you may think. There were no changes in the last legislative session that requires an amendment to your investment policy. We don't have any reason to recommend any changes. And we have a list, if anybody would like to see, of all of those broker-dealers that we think will do business with governmental entities, understanding the compliance requirements. So our recommendation is that you just adopt a motion keeping your investment policy the same and approving the updated list of broker-dealers.
So one motion for both
items? One motion
items.
We do for both, yeah.
Okay.
I'll move for the investment policies to stay where they are and the amended investment groups be approved.
Yeah, approved. They're the list.
Second?
I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to accept the annual review of investment policy and adopt the resolution establishing the authorized depository institutions since there were no changes. Do we have all in favor say aye?
Aye.
No opposition, the motion passes. Item 9, tax assessment and collection matters.
I don't think we have any items there. We can table that item.
Okay. Number 10, report on development in the district.
Report on development. We don't have any development right now, obviously, but we have been focused pretty much solely on acquiring the public utility easements, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but made great progress with that. We are starting to look at the filing of a preliminary plat with the city of College Station, and which is a requirement under our development agreement, but also it'll set the number of lots we're going to have, so we'll be defining those things and filing that plat. Other than that, there's really not a lot to say update on the development right now.
Okay. All right. So moving on to item 11, the report on engineering matters, including the authorization design of facilities to serve the district, approving plans and specification, and authorized advertisement for bids for the construction of facilities to serve the district, and accept and convey deeds and easements and approve related phase one environmental proposals and consents to encroachment.
All right, on the engineering report, I passed out a copy for each one of you right before the meeting starts. You can kind of follow along with me. The only real matters we have to update are just on the three contracts that we have with the district right now, with the developer on behalf of the district. The overall master grading plan and drainage impact analysis contracts, there's no change in status on that since our last meeting. Those contracts are still on hold pending developer approval to proceed. The one contract that has had motion since our last meeting is the offsite trunk water and sanitary sewer improvements, which is directly related to our offsite easements. Since our last meeting, Joseph Carter has completed all of the surveying work needed for that design and needed for the easement acquisitions. That included the topographic mapping work, boundary-related work, and then easement, the generation of the meets and bounds descriptions for the easement. We've completed a preliminary design that has been passed on to the City of College Station for their preliminary review and consent for that alignment. And the remainder of that contract is on hold pending developer approval to proceed, which will be really a function of easement acquisition timing. And then the last thing to note on that is we do have an amendment to that contract in the works in process. which essentially amends that contract based on the scope that we're actually doing. When the contract was first executed, we understood we needed to build a water and sewer line at this time for phase one. However, as we've worked with the city through phase one and some modeling, we do not need to construct the water line at this time. It'll be deferred till later in the development. So we have amendment.
We're still getting the easement, though.
Yes, that's
right. We're still getting the easement.
Okay.
Yes.
But we're just not doing the design.
Right. The easement, we'll get the easement for both water and sewer. But the contract design and contract will be modified to reduce the scope we're actually having. We'll be discussing that in more detail at our next meeting.
It's a reduction in fees, though, but.
Just to make it clear, it's the second water line we're not building. We will have a water line.
Right.
Just the offline.
The offline water.
Yeah.
All right. Any approvals that y'all need?
No, sir.
Today?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Moving on. Anybody have any other questions about that? Okay. Moving on to item 12, the meeting schedule and items for inclusion on the next agenda.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll go to item 13. You want to convene executive session?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay. All right. We're going to convene closed section. Is there any information from the engineers that are going to be needed for the executive session?
No, I don't think so. Not on the legal side.
It is 10:18 on Friday, April 28th, and we are convening an executive session pursuant to Section 551.072 to deliberate regarding the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property.